Well, I'm going to talk about limitless this morning. Limitless. Limitless. Hallelujah. Beginning of the year, we, Pastor Judy and I, we believe that this was what year? Can anybody say? Ephesians 3:20. Now, half the year is almost gone. But that doesn't mean our faith is less stronger. Amen? Yeah, the enemies try to deter us, try to intimidate us, put us down, fill us with doubt, whatever. But God's word still stands. Amen? God is still faithful. Now let's read this scripture, Ephesians 3:20. Bam. Okay, hallelujah. Amplified Bible. Now to him, by and in consequence of the action of his power. Say the action of his power. It's not our power. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Amen? The action of his power that is at work within us. Say that is with that worketh in me. Come on, say that. That worketh in me. Hallelujah. Is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, and dreams. Last week I ministered a subject on living in your future. Not living in your past, not living as we see things are today, just barely getting by there. The World Council predicting a famine throughout the whole world. Well, glory to God, we're king's kids. Hallelujah. God's going to take care of us. But see, we have to, according, okay, to his power that worketh within us. So our prayers, our desires, our thoughts, our hopes, and our dreams activates the power of God within us. If we don't have the last things, if we don't have the prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams, nothing is going to happen. All the power of heaven is dormant on the inside. But if we choose, amen, to begin to call things which be not as though they are, if we choose to live a limitless life in the kingdom of God, then all the power of heaven will explode in our being and cause these things to come into manifestation. Amen? That's powerful. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So when we're talking about limitless, all right, some of the synonyms are bottomless, boundless, endless, horizonless, immeasurable, glory to God, incalculable, innumerable. The Bible says there is an innumerable amount of angels. Unlimited, unmeasured, exhaustless, inexhaustible, extensive, far-flung, immense, vast, limitless. So we understand, and Jazar talked about the children of Israel. It says in the Bible that they limited the Holy One of Israel. If you know anything about reading the Old Testament, you know the children of Israel, they had an evil heart of unbelief. They could not enter into the rest. Hebrews chapter 4. But we do. Amen? Because we have a finished work. We have the promises of God. Our yes and amen. Hallelujah. So to us, if we will just grasp the fact that we can live a limitless life, that we can have the finances, that we can have the dreams, that we can have the health, we can have our families saved, born again in church, spirit-filled. Hallelujah. Nothing's impossible. Praise God. Amen. And I like to say this. We are not bound by our past. Glory to God, when God holds our future. We're not bound by our past when God holds our future. Amen. Hallelujah. So, I want to read 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 through 13 in the Message Bible. This is powerful. Hallelujah. It says, Dear Corinthians. I like this translation. I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter into this wide, open, spacious life. Isn't that powerful? Paul said, I can't wait. I can't wait for you to really start living this abundant life. Spacious. Say spacious. This kind of goes along with Ephesians 3:20. Above all that we can imagine, ask or think, dare ask or think. Spacious life. We didn't fence you in. He was saying, we apostles, us preachers, did not fence you in, but the smallness that you feel comes from within you. See, the smallness, our limitations, does not come from God. And really, the devil isn't all powerful. The limitations that we have, we can look back in our past, is usually our stinking thinking. That we put a stoppage in our own faith, in our own desires, in our own dreams, because of maybe shipwrecked faith of the past. We've tried something once, we've tried something twice, and it didn't work out. Or we had an uncle so-and-so that, you know, they tried this and that, and I'm just marked for failure, and so on and so forth. Remember, our past does not define our future. So we have to go in. And Paul says, hey, we didn't cause this condition in you, Corinthians. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives are not small, but you're living them in a small way. The Bible says faith without corresponding actions is dead. And I'm not here to teach on faith is always part of the subject here, okay? But think about that. We're not operating. Jesus said, when I come back, will I find faith in the earth? We as a body of Christ, a body of believers, we need to stir up that faith once more and get that same spirit of faith, amen, that the Apostle Paul talks about. Amen. I believe, therefore I speak. Amen. That same spirit of faith. So the smallest you feel comes from within you. Your lives are not small, but you're living them in a small way. And I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. And he goes on to say, open up your lives. Open up your lives. Live openly. Live expansively. Hallelujah. God told the children of Israel, he says, stretch forth the stakes of your tents. Begin to expand. Hallelujah. Begin to expand your territory. Begin to do things you've never done before. In other words, get out of our comfort zone. We're comfortable. We're comfortable in our little thing. We all have to fight getting out of our comfort zone. Because, you know, we go through warfare, we go through a fight, we win a battle, and then, bless God, we want to take a vacation. And there's nothing wrong with that, to have a holiday. Say a day. A day. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. God doesn't sleep nor slumber. The devil doesn't either. So for what happens is that when we win a battle, we get a breakthrough, and we take a sabbatical, and guess what? The enemy will pile up against us. I was, I love history, and I was looking at some documentaries of the Civil War and different battles and things like that. We could have won the Civil War a lot quicker than we did, but because of the generals in charge, they were cautious. they wanted to take a sabbatical. They wouldn't win part of the battle, but they wouldn't go on and chase the enemy down and finish it. Till Lincoln found out that Ulysses S. Grant was a warrior, that once he started hounding you, he wouldn't stop until the battle was won. See, warfare is vicious, folks. We have to remember that. We can't play nice with the devil or the things of the devil. Amen? We've got to pursue, overtake, and recover all. Come on, say that with me. Pursue, overtake, and recover all. We don't pursue and take vacation. Let's stop and take a break. Let's drink some Red Bull and get some energy so that we can overtake. No, we pursue, we overtake. Well, but I'm tired of this fight, Pastor. I don't know. Well, you're not going to live in Ephesians 3:20 a year with that kind of thinking. Amen. We're on a war path. We're out to win our families for God. We're out to win our cities for God. We're out to conquer. Glory to God. Amen. So when God called David, hey, go pursue, overtake, and recover all, he meant it. And that's still our assignment today in the New Testament, because I know that the devil has stolen some things from you. Come on now. Because Jesus said he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I know in our times of weaknesses, we've allowed him to do that. So the word for us in the Old Testament, the same for us in the New Testament, as I quoted the scripture earlier, the kingdom suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Come on, let's get violent. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm violent. Don't mess with me. Don't mess with me, devil. Don't mess with me. And that means religious folk too. Don't mess with me. Hallelujah, because the Bible says I'm more than a conqueror. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So he says to end this scripture, he says, open up your lives. Open up your lives. Whew. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. Glory to God. Write down some things that you couldn't even, wouldn't dare think of. God, you're not going to knock God off his throne. Come on now. Boy, praise God. See, when you were born again, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, we should all know that scripture. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, when you made Jesus the Lord and Savior, you were put into Christ. You're in Christ. Hallelujah. You became a new creation, one translation of species. A new species that never existed before. That's why your old life does not define you. Your past mistakes does not define you of who God wants you to be. You are a new creation. Old things have passed away. The mess ups, everything that you failed in the past, come on now. They're done. There's no more remembrance of it. You're a new creature. Amen. That's powerful. If you just get a revelation. Behold, all things. How many things? Have become new. You're not just a poor old sinner saved by grace. You were old sinner, but not anymore. What exists now never did exist before, because you have been made a new species in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Well, you know, I just don't deserve it. You know, just build me a cabin in glory. That's religion. I grew up in religion. We never were taught who we were in Christ. In fact, going back over my childhood, raised in the Assembly of God Church, I don't remember anything being taught that I know now. I really don't. We sat through Sunday school class every week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, testimony service, where people would get up and say, the devil's been chasing me all week, pray that I'll make it till the end. Bless his holy name. We're upon the Pentecostal church, man. believing, speaking in tongues, but we didn't have a revelation of the word. You are a giant. You are a giant killer. Come on. Hallelujah. So when Paul wrote this, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Old things have passed away. You now are anointed for new things. You are now empowered for new things. Not old things, but new things that have never existed before. Glory to God. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. Hallelujah. So which life are you identifying with this morning? The new one. Amen. You have to identify with something. And a lot of people are always identifying with the old, the way it was, the old days. No, we're living in a new season. God's breathing again in this earth. Things are changing. And you know why? Because the body of Christ is changing. Amen. We're getting four warrior spirits. We're not being passive anymore. People are praying. They're raising up. They're knocking on doors. There's massive evangelism going on. Hallelujah. There's revival meetings. Mario Morello's going in all over the United States in these miracle meetings. Glory to God. People are getting delivered. How many of you know that people have to get delivered from stuff? Amen. We've got to see God's power. Glory to God. Do what you're famous for, God. Amen. Hallelujah. And the funny thing, he'll work with us. Well, God, where have you been? And God says, church, where have you been? Y'all been holding the fort. Now, I said this before, we sing that song every Sunday. Glory to God. All the ladies take their hankies. Hold the fort, for I am coming. And that's about all we did was hold the fort. We wouldn't get out of the fort. We stayed in the fort. Hold the fort. Hallelujah. You had the men. Glory to God. Now we have warriors. Hallelujah. Putting on the armor of God. That's filling the church of Jesus Christ. No more hoarding the holding the fort. Amen. The Bible says, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell prevail against it. And in the original, it doesn't say we're holding the fort, waiting for the enemy to come and bombard the walls, but now we're chasing him. In other words, we're a force to be reckoned with. You are a force. You are a child of God. You are anointed of God. And you are the one to be reckoned with. The enemy should get nervous every morning when you wake up. Hallelujah. Because you're not identifying with the junk that he used to have you do when he was your father. You've changed families. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You are a child of God. Now we can look back. And we can blame a bad childhood, being part of a dysfunctional family. We can talk about, well, you know, I was abused. And, you know, there's been bad decisions that I've made, so I have a life full of regrets. Or, you know, just years was wasted, and, you know, just reliving what could have been and so on and so forth, rehearsing our past, you know. And listen, doing that will keep you contained. Will keep you in your old life. Will keep you in the state of misery. Amen? Hallelujah. But see, Paul made a decision, life in the future. What is my life in the future? And I read this last week out of a different translation, but Philippians 3:13 says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing." He focused on what? Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. We could say forgetting the past. You know, he had killed Christians. Come on now. He was there at the stoning of Stephen. And he even said himself, I was the chiefest of sinners. He wasn't one bad dude. He was it. He was the worst of the worst. But he was transformed on that road to Damascus. Praise God. Paul became, Saul of Tarsus became Paul the apostle. Glory to God. Amen. Instantly changed. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Paul put on a new identity. A new identity. And that's what some of you have to do this morning. Well, Pastor, you know, I read your testimony, your prayer request. Praise God for your testimonies. But a lot of you are just going over and over, and you need to break out of that past syndrome and not even identify with it anymore. Don't identify with it anymore. That's what I used to be. That's what I used to be. I'm not saying I never was. That's what I used to be. That's my old man. But see, I'm born again. I'm in Christ. I have a new identity. Praise God. I'm more than a conqueror. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, a lot of times the Old Testament will apply to the New Testament. I want to read you some things. And in Joel chapter 2, let's go to the book of Joel chapter 2. This is powerful. Because if God has promised this to the Old Testament saints, how much more is it for you and I? Amen. We're living in a new day. A new day. Glory to God. A new day has dawned. It says here in verse 25, the Lord says, I will give you back what you lost. Woo, glory! That should make you get up, shout, run around the church a couple times. I will give you back what you lost to the swarming locust, the hopping locust, the stripping locust. A lot of locusts out there, right? The devil comes in all forms and shapes, folks. Amen? Hallelujah. It was I who sent this great destroying army against you, but once again, you will have all the food you want. Ooh, what a promise. Say, I'll have all the food I want. It says, you will praise the Lord your God who does these miracles for you. Never again will my people be disgraced. Then you will know that I am among my people Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. Never again will my people be disgraced. Then after doing all of those things, woo, and this is what Peter prophesied, at the day of Pentecost, I will pour out my spirit upon all the people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. In those days, I will pour. Say, in those days. Now say it, in these days. He said, I will pour out my spirit even on servant men and women alike. Glory to God. We are living in those days. So say, devil, put it back. Everything you've stolen from me, put it back in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So what are we identifying with? Let's look at Isaiah chapter 61. This is prophetically speaking of you and I. It says in verse 6, you will be called priest of the Lord. Woo, glory to God. Priest of the Lord. Ministers of our God. You will feed on the treasures of the nations and boast in their riches. Instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy double share of honor. It's time for us to move into that double share of honor. You will possess a double portion of prosperity. Come on, say, I will enjoy in this land, in this day, a double portion of prosperity. Hallelujah. I like that. In your land, that means where we live right now, and everlasting joy. Turn to the person next to you and say, ha, 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 ha. Everlasting joy. Doesn't say sadness. It says joy will be yours. The apostle in the New Testament says this: we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. Oh, praise the Lord for that. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Say that with me. I'm a royal priest. I'm a holy nation. I'm a peculiar person. And you need to remember that. Glory to God. Amen. When you come boldly into the very throne of grace to obtain help in the time of need, you're not going crawling on your hands and knees.
Jesus, help me. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus.
Oh, help me. I don't know what I'm going to do if you don't help me. Have you ever heard any prayers like that? Hopefully you didn't pray like that. We have a covenant with Almighty God. Whew. Royal. You are royalty. Remember, in Christ. In Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul was talking about. So I want to finish reading this beginning passage again in 2 Corinthians 6. Again, and I want you to begin to think about who you're going to identify with from this point on. We'll continue this next week. Dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how long for you to enter into this wide open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in, but the smallest you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. And I'm speaking as plainly as I can. With great affection, open up your lives, live openly, and live expansively. Glory to God. Amen. That is our marching orders. That is our marching orders. Amen. And instead of shame and dishonor, we're going to enjoy a double share. Hallelujah. Of honor, favor of the Lord. Glory to God. We're going to possess a double portion of prosperity in our land, and everlasting joy will be ours. Glory to God. Would you stand with me this morning? Let's lift up our hands and thank God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you. You just praise God. Praise that. Today is a shift. Shifting today. We're shifting from the old into the new. We're walking. Oh, hallelujah. We're not in bondage to the past, but we're walking in the newness of life that Christ has given us. Praise the Lord. And if you're today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we're going to pray a prayer. And I want you to pray because, you know, I want you to be a part of this end time army. I want you to be a part of the people of God that's not going to be beat up and put down and all. You're going to be a people of faith in the earth that's going to shake kingdoms. Amen? Hallelujah. So I want you to pray this prayer with me. And if you're unsure that you've ever received Christ in your life, all you have to do, two things. First of all, believe that Jesus died for your sin. Number two, ask him to come into your heart and come into your life. That's easy. And then those of you that have already, just thank God for it. Amen? Let's all pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you that Jesus went to the cross to save me from my sins. And now, dear Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life today, be my Lord and Savior. And Father, I thank you. From now on, I'm going to enjoy and walk in my new life. In Jesus' name, amen. Say my new life. Hallelujah.